Hi there and welcome to Global Heart Church. I'm Jared Keane, the Senior Pastor, and wherever you are tuning in from around the world today, really, really hope and pray that in our planning of this message that it's going to really inspire you for the great journey that you are on and for the great calling that you have in your own life. So enjoy the message and really pray that it's a blessing to you today.
All right. If you got your Bibles, we're going to read the passage that we are using as our theme for the year. So usually as a church, we'll have a theme or a word or a passage of scripture for our year. And it's what our vision team, our eldership, and Pastor Jared are believing is where God is leading us as a church. And so this year it has been seek first. And we've taken that from Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read that together right now. And it's going to come up on the screens as well. This is Matthew 6 verse 31. Jesus speaking. He says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This is also in Luke chapter 12, verse 29. And again, Jesus speaking. This one's a little bit more tight. It says, "And do not set your heart on what you eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them." Verse 31, "But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." One more passage on the kingdom of God. It's in Matthew 13, verse 44. This is the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl. It says in Matthew 13, 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Verse 45, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." So church, I have 3 points today on the kingdom of God, which I hope to explain succinctly. And they're interesting as there's a lot of overlap. What I mean by that is the first point is reinforced by the second point, which makes sense of the third point, which brings additional meaning to the first point and so on. So it's a little bit unconventional, but I'm going to begin with our 3 points today and then unpack them as we go. So here's our 3 points on the kingdom of God. Number one is the kingdom of God is hidden. Number two, the kingdom of God is revealed in Christ. And number three, the kingdom of God is worth everything. So the phrases kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom occur more than 90 times in the Gospels. Sorry. I just instinctively was like, "I'll wait for you to take the call," but we wouldn't encourage that. It's just... So here's a few more examples in Scripture of references to the kingdom of God in the New Testament. Some quick ones. So Luke chapter 4, verse 43. "But he said, 'I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent.' Mark 1:15, 'The time has come,' he said, 'the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news.' And then in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6 verse 10, 'Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.' John 18 verse 36, Jesus said, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place.'" Now, when the kingdom of God is mentioned in Scripture, it can be speaking to the realm of God or the reign of God. Mostly, it's referring to God's reign, his lordship in a place, a period of time, or a person. God living and leading. God living and leading within you. God ruling and reigning in your life. That he would be on the throne of your heart. To be in the kingdom of God is to know and to serve and to worship Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and to know Him as friend and King. So to be in the kingdom of God is to know and to serve and to worship Jesus as not just Savior, but also as Lord, and not just as friend, but also as King. Matthew 6 and Luke 12's call to seek first the kingdom is a call to desire God's righteous rule on the earth and in your life above any other desire. The desire for God's righteous rule on the earth and in your life to be above any other desire. I really like this quote from Albert Schweitzer. He says, "There can be no kingdom of God in the world without the kingdom of God in our hearts." We can, as believers, everybody, if we're not careful, be very proactive, very engaged in seeing Christ rule and reign, His kingdom come into things like government, the marketplace. We want to see Him rule and reign in our colleagues, especially in our boss. Not me, I love my boss. We want to see Christ rule and reign in our neighbors' lives, yet we fail to realize He may not be ruling and reigning in our own life. And He may not be ruling and reigning in our own home. Matthew 6 and Luke 12 is the call to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness instead of the alternative, which is the way of the world. The way of, as it's said in Scripture, the way of the pagan, the non-believer. And it's often referred to as the way of worry. I was reading a biblical commentary on this Scripture, and it said this of the way of the pagan, the alternative to seeking God first. It said, "It's a way of living which is like frantically scurrying to get the best deck chair on a sinking ship." Someone who's seeking first wealth, influence, power, accumulation of assets, finances, is like trying to get the best deck chair on a sinking ship. You may get it, but you're still sinking. We need to remove ourselves out of the way of the world, the way of worry, the way of the pagan, and live the way that God is calling us to, which is to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. The call to seek first is the call to have a difference in attitude and priority in regard to the things of the world. That we wouldn't be, as believers, running around trying to get the best car, the best deck chair on a sinking ship, but that we, with everything, would pursue the kingdom of God. Therefore, naturally, there's a difference in our attitude and priority in regard to the things of the kingdom. How we approach God and His kingdom is very different when we are seeking Him first. So a list of descriptions about the kingdom of God, this is in no particular order and it's not exhaustive. This is just Pastor Jordan's, drawn from the Scripture. They're going to come up on the screen. Feel free to dance in the aisle as we read them because they're very good. Here it is. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of the crucified, risen King. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of victory, of power over sin and death, of redemption and deliverance, of blessing, of personal relationship with the King, and the kingdom of becoming like the King. I like this service. The first service was a bit quieter. I said, it's the kingdom of becoming like the King, and someone just at the back was, anyway, 11 a.m.'s good. John chapter 3, verse 1 to 21. It's the story of Nicodemus having a conversation with Jesus. It says, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.' Jesus replied, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.' 'How can someone be born when they are old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born.' Verse 5, Jesus answered, 'Very, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again.'" Scripture telling us there, no one can see the kingdom of God, let alone enter it, unless they are born again. It says, born of water and the Spirit. And I'm not going to spend too much time on that today. Pastor Jordan did a message called One of Those Born Agains on that concept. It was 5 stars. I encourage you to check that out if you're interested in that. Every 1 million listens of that on Spotify gets me 2 cents, so we would appreciate that. But I want to just look at where it says you won't see the kingdom of God, let alone enter it. The word see here in the original language, what it's speaking to is the idea of to behold, experience, and discern clearly. To be able to behold the kingdom of God. To be able to experience the kingdom of God. To be able to discern it clearly amongst all the other teachings and happenings. The truth is this, everybody. Without spiritual birth, you can't perceive spiritual things. And that is why, as a Christian, if you've been born again, if you've stepped into, by faith in Christ, into the kingdom of God, you can talk to somebody who's not a Christian and it's like you should just be talking in French to them. It's another language. There's no understanding. Sometimes you can be looking at someone who's a non-believer at the things around their life, seeing that God is moving, God is drawing, and they can't see it. It's because you can't perceive spiritual things without a spiritual birth. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he speaks of the gospel. So the good news of Jesus' invitation into his kingdom by faith in him, it is foolishness to those that are perishing. What we would consider the gospel, the greatest message, the cleanest message, the perfect message, to those who are perishing, it comes across as foolishness. What is that? You can't see the kingdom of God, let alone enter it, without spiritual birth. Luke 17, verse 20 to 21, an interaction with the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and Jesus, it says, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." They're asking the question of when is the kingdom coming, but the kingdom had already begun right under the Pharisees' noses. God was ruling and reigning in the hearts of some people, and the king himself, the king of that kingdom, was standing amongst them, yet the Pharisees were oblivious to that fact. The kingdom was hidden, but it was being revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. The kingdom truly was among them, and it was being revealed through Jesus. The kingdom was in their midst in the person and presence of Jesus. Jesus was ushering in the kingdom as he changed hearts. Now that scripture has been interpreted for a long time as the kingdom of God is within you, but they have since, in fact, even in modern translations like the NIV, they've adjusted this to what I just read, which is that the kingdom of God is in your midst. Now, the reason I just denote that is because without that, we can gain a teaching of the kingdom of God is in me, which is true if Christ is ruling and reigning in your life by having the Spirit within you. The kingdom is within you. However, that teaching on its own is not correct, because then we get people on TikTok saying that the kingdom is within me and it's attached to me. It's about me. When the fact is, it is that the kingdom is revealed in Christ, and upon making Christ Lord and Savior, now it is within me, but not because it's in me, but because it is Christ and Christ is in me. A little adjustment, which I appreciate that the NIV team did that, as did a bunch of other translations, which is great. We are supernaturally birthed into the kingdom by faith in Christ, where we step into, let's look at that list again, we step into the kingdom of the crucified, risen King. We step into, by faith in Christ, the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. We're supernaturally birthed into the kingdom of victory, power over sin and death, redemption and deliverance, blessing, personal relationship with the King, and becoming like the King. What a list. Incredible. That's not even exhaustive. We could add a few more. But we look at that and we say, I want that. I want to receive that. I want to walk in that. I want to experience that. And some of the truth of that, we are blinded to it because it is hidden, yet it's revealed in Christ. And so my encouragement and direction to you is to fix your eyes on Christ, because the kingdom is revealed in Him. By making Him Lord and Savior, by having Him rule and reign, we can step into and experience the fullness of what is the kingdom of God as we have relationship with Christ Jesus, where we know Him not just as Savior, but as Lord, and not just as friend, but as King. He is truly ruling and reigning in our lives. So back to the parable of the treasure and the pearl. The scripture tells us that the treasure was accidentally found, that a man was in a field and he stumbled upon a treasure and he hid it, sold everything and went and purchased the field so he could have it. The pearl was sought after. And it's the picture of a merchant who is looking for valuable pearls and he finds the pearl. Now the treasure is a picture of someone who finds the kingdom of God by accident. And for some, that happens. For some people, they're not seeking God. They're not seeking the truth. They might not even be open, but because of God's kindness and His seeking of them, they stumble upon this treasure that is the kingdom of God. I recently had a coffee with somebody who is not a Christian. And it was actually a bit strange how it came to happen. We had a coffee at Health Freak Cafe. He's not a believer at all, but he is seeking truth and he is seeking God. He's exploring different options. He's looked at different belief systems. And I said to him, look, continue to seek the truth. Continue to seek God and you will find Jesus. And he said, why are you so confident in saying that? And I said, well, because you're having coffee with me. That's got nothing to do with me. But I say that to say he's seeking truth and seeking God. And through random events, he's ended up having coffee with a pastor who has an opportunity to tell him about Jesus. If that's not God and His love reaching out to that guy, I don't know what that is. And so that man I had coffee with, he's a bit more like the story of the pearl, which is the merchant seeking out pearls and he finds one of great value and he sells everything to obtain it. Sometimes people accidentally stumble upon the gospel and some are seeking truth and they will find it. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. The other English translations of that scripture use words diligently and sincerely. And I was spending a bit of time looking at this verse the other day, and I actually dusted off my Strong's Concordance. Anybody know the Strong's Concordance? I nearly said in the last service that they make a good coffee table book, but they're so big, they make a good coffee table. They're huge. And what it is it's a fantastic resource. They numbered every word in the Bible in Hebrew and Greek. And then you can look up a scripture. It'll tell you the number for that word, where it appears in every other area in the Bible. And it puts it all together. It's fantastic. It gives you the original meaning. So I got my concordance out. And that word, earnestly seek Him, is Strong's Greek number 1567. Does anyone else like this stuff? Yeah. Just me. I'll go quick. This word in its original language means this: to seek out, search out, investigate, and crave. God rewards those who investigate, crave, search out, and seek out. That gives me faith for people who are on a journey of seeking God, because it tells me that they will find God. They will find that treasure that is the kingdom of God. You may find yourself here today by accident. You came to pick something up from Marketplace, I don't know, or you came for a coffee. You came to hang out with somebody. And now you're getting an opportunity to hear about Jesus. But some you're here by ways of seeking, where you are looking for God, you're looking for truth. And I want to encourage you to continue that pursuit, because it will land you in a place with Jesus Christ. Now, the pearl and the treasure, both, the person involved, they sell everything to obtain the pearl and to obtain the treasure. The message here, everybody, is not that the kingdom is bought. The message is that it is worth everything. And that it will cost you something. The immense value of the kingdom far outweighs any sacrifice or inconvenience that one might encounter on earth. The immense value of the kingdom far outweighs any sacrifice you could make, far outweighs any inconvenience it adds to your life. Gaining the kingdom at the potential cost of everything else is a great godly outcome. I lost everything but gained My place in God's kingdom, that is a good trade, a beautiful exchange. The Bible has a scripture painting the opposite, which is, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Well, I want to encourage you, be prepared to lose everything so that you have your soul saved. People who receive the kingdom have Christ ruling and reigning in their life, treasure it more than anything else. People who receive the kingdom have Christ ruling and reigning in their life, treasure it more than anything else. Is your life a picture of somebody who treasures the kingdom of God more than anything else? How will you be able to tell? It's what you think about. It's what you desire. It's where your finances are. It's where your energy is. It's where your efforts are. It's what influences your life decisions. It's what influences your choices. If it's not your relationship with God, you may not be regarding it truly as the treasure that it is. And you won't be able to truly experience all that it has for you. Don't allow anything else to be leading your life. Allow your devotion to God and your place in His kingdom to be the greatest influence. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3 says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters. And rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Look at verse 5, everybody. Counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. When we step into the kingdom of God, we get to partake and enjoy the victories of Christ Jesus. Ready to receive the victory? And we also get to enjoy his sufferings. nearly gotcha. What a challenge. But that is the truth of God's word, that when we enter the kingdom of God, we partake in the victories of Christ Jesus and we partake in his sufferings. To enter it, to build it, to obtain it, it's worth suffering for. You look at the life of the disciples, they were so devoted to building the kingdom, it was so first in their life that they were willing to be put to death in their building and serving of the kingdom, in their love of Christ. For you and I, stepping into the kingdom of God, that invitation to seek first, it's an invitation to Christ's likeness. His victory, as I said, but also in his sufferings. A life of service and sacrifice in the pursuit of building the kingdom, in the pursuit of adding people into the kingdom of God. But everybody, it is absolutely worth it. Friday night, we had a bit of fun and I spent some time essentially talking people out of marriage. Just by giving the biblical definition of what marriage is. I don't know if you've ever given too much thought to how the Bible paints marriage, but it is a big deal. When people treat it flippantly, it's a very dangerous thing to do. It's a covenant with God and with a person. In fact, when Jesus talks of marriage to the disciples say, if those are the terms, why would we get married? It's full on. It's also worth it. It's worth it. That was on Friday. We talked about marriage. We're going to talk about parenthood for a second. Now, my wife Bianca and I, we're parents of two young boys. They are champions. They weren't champions last night at 3 a.m, but they are champions most of the time. But parenthood is such a fascinating thing because for many people, just to conceive a child can be such a painful, long journey. And with it can come such challenges and heartache, and it can be a real challenge to fall pregnant. And then that season of pregnancy as well. For some people, and what it seems to be like for people on Instagram, it's just sunshine, lollipops and rainbows, having a great time. But for some, it's 9 months of just hectic stuff going on. It's full on. Pregnancy's crazy. And then you get to the birth. And again, for some people, which seemingly people on the internet, birth's quick and fun and great. But for others, birth's crazy. Whew. And then the child's arrived. And when you become a parent, you almost have this quick moment of like, what have we done? What? And it's the responsibility, the weight, And I realize now I've got to serve this child and raise this child. And I'm, you know, my partner and I, my wife and I, you know, we are the biggest examples and role models to them. And now I'm seeing as Micah, older son's a bit older, I'm literally seeing my behavior walk out in him or run out in him. And sometimes I don't like what I see, but I have no one to blame except me. And then I'm like, why did I do that? But parenthood's such a funny thing because it is so challenging and difficult, and it costs you so much financially as well. Oh. But it costs you in many ways, but it is 1,000% worth it. 1,000% worth it. And just to revisit marriage is the same, a lifelong devotion to one person. I'm in covenant relationship with them before God, all desire for anyone of the opposite sex. I am putting that on one person before God in worship and in devotion to God and to them. It's a challenge. Marriage is a discipleship intensive. Yeah. And all the husbands said. Amen. Okay, well, maybe it's just me that feels that way. But again, marriage is 1,000% worth it. And I say that to say this, is that like seeking the kingdom first, it will come at great cost to you. It will come at great cost to your flesh, to your dreams, to your desires, to what you want. But it is 1,000% worth it. Some people are not prepared to seek God because they're not willing to go through what it costs. Be somebody who says, I have counted the costs. I am going to partake of Christ's victory and his sufferings. I'm going to pursue him with everything I have, knowing that at the end of the day, it's worth it. The kingdom of God is worth devoting every part of your life to it. Anything worth having comes at a great cost to something in your life. And for the parable of the treasure and the pearl, it was worth selling everything to obtain it. What I love about the parable of the treasure specifically is it says of the man, he had joy to sell everything. Yeah. Things that make no sense to non-believers, believers can do it with joy. And I used in the last service the example of Pastor Liam and Lisa packing up here in Australia, leaving their family, leaving their home to go to Zambia, a country they hadn't been to. And they go there to serve God and to build the kingdom. And you know, there's moments where they do it with great joy, but there's also challenging moments. But they are prepared for both. And what God is doing is incredible, and they will be rewarded for it. It doesn't mean that building that church in Zambia is sunshine, lollipops and rainbows. But you do see within them this grace and this anointing to do with joy what other people might see as ridiculous and it makes no sense. There'll be people in this room where God would have you leave a job and take a $20,000 pay cut to do something that's more inclined to seek the kingdom. And everybody in your life is saying, what are you doing? You're an idiot. And you're doing it with joy, saying, I'm excited to do it. And everyone goes, you're crazy. But we knew this would happen. The Bible told us this would happen. When you have a biblical worldview and you're in the kingdom of God, seeking first to others where it is hidden and it seems like foolishness, so it won't make sense to them. And that's okay. Amen. Matthew 10 verse 37 says, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. What a challenging passage of scripture. Challenging us to love God more than the most intimate relationships we can have, our parents and our children. It's a challenge to take up our cross. It's a challenge to lose our lives. Yet it's absolutely worth it. There's a scripture like it where Jesus says, if one does not hate mother or father, then they cannot be one of my disciples. Now, what that is not, for all the teenagers in the room that were excited about that, because you're like, I can do that. It's not saying that we should hate our mother and father. It's in light of our love for God, our love for our mother and father looks like hate. That's how much we love God. And this scripture here in Matthew 10, talking about that amongst everything else, every relationship you have, it needs to pale in value to you in comparison to your love for God. prepared to love God more than anyone and anything else. Prepared to take up our cross to serve God. Prepared to lose our lives for the sake of the kingdom of God. Faith in Christ, the kingdom of God, it's an invitation to give up things. It's an invitation to relinquish things. It's in fact an invitation to leave it all behind in pursuit of Him. There's a person in the New Testament that Jesus challenges with this, and his name's Rich, his last name's Young Ruler. You may be familiar with the story. And so Mr. Young Ruler is talking to Jesus about getting into the kingdom of God, and Jesus says, first, sell everything you have. And it says that Rich left despondent. He was downcast because he loved what he had too much. He wasn't willing to give that up in order to obtain the treasure, in order to obtain the pearl, in order to obtain place in the kingdom of God. You'll notice that Jesus doesn't ask everybody in the New Testament to sell everything in order to step into the kingdom of God. That was for Rich exclusively in this passage. He doesn't ask everybody because he was saying this to the rich young ruler because Jesus knew that that's what would be the biggest challenge for him, the biggest obstacle for him to leave it behind to pursue the kingdom of God. What is it in your life that you're wrestling to let go in complete devotion and pursuit of the kingdom of God? For some it is finances, like the rich young ruler. Some it's assets. Sometimes it's our own dreams and aspirations and goals. God, I'm not willing to let that go because it's mine, because I love it, because I want it. There's an invitation for us to leave it all behind in complete devotion and pursuit of Jesus Christ. On Friday when I was preaching and I talked about everything else paling in value and importance in your life in comparison to seeking the kingdom of God, and someone in the foyer came and caught me and asked me a question. They said, Pastor Jordan, do you mean to tell me that if God was to ask you to sell your house, sell your cars, pack up shop and move to Mongolia to build the kingdom of God, that you would do it? And I said to him in this tone, I said, I'd hope so, but I'm not sure. I would hope that if that was asked of me, that I could do that. But I don't know until I'm asked. I'd hope that that would be me, that God, whatever you would ask of me to give up, to go to for the sake of the kingdom, that I would do it. Even as I'm saying it now, it's like famous last words. But the thing is that I would hope to be that person. And by faith, I'm becoming that person. But it's a daily decision. It's God, I want to seek you first today in this moment. And you will have this week invitations to seek first the kingdom in the face of another pursuit. It's not like there's going to be one time in your life where the options before you seek first or do this. It's every day. Yeah. It's every day. And here's the thing, is that for some of us, God would want to call you to Mongolia to seek first the kingdom by doing something big like that, but we're not seeking Him first in the privacy of our own home. We're not seeking Him first with the little things. God's not going to call you to Mongolia if you're not being honoring of your mother and father here. He's not going to jump that. That's not how the Lord works. Faithful with the little, faithful with much. How are you going seeking God with just your personal integrity? Seeking Him first with your finances, seeking Him first with your career, seeking Him first with your relationships. What's God asking you to let go of in pursuit of Him? Maybe it's that you've allowed too many things in your life to rob you of devotion to God's church. I always think that a low view of church is shared with a low view of Scripture, because the opposite's not possible. You can't not love the church and love Scripture, because too much of Scripture is about the church. Most of the New Testament is letters written to the church about the health of the church, the building of the church, that Christ's coming back for the church, that He purchased the church with His own blood, that He's coming back for a glorious church. Oh, but nah, church isn't that important. It's not relevant today. The church is within me. The church is me and my mate at home having toast. It's these modern takes on something that is robbing you of seeking God's kingdom first. We seek first the kingdom by partnering with him in faith in building the kingdom. And it's done through the local church. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. He is building the church. And I say that to say this, practically, when I'm talking about your career taking you off course from seeking first the kingdom of God, this is what I'm talking about. There's no plan of God that has you not a part of church. So if I've taken a job that makes me more money, but I'm not present in my church, I hate to tell you, I don't think that's God. God wants you in his house, building his house, serving his church. And this is where push comes to shove with, yeah, I could do that, but I'm going to lose this. Rich young ruler. What is it that you're despondent about giving up in pursuit of God? Because I'm telling you, on the other side of giving it up in faith, there'll be a great breakthrough in your life.
Thank you so much for joining us online today. Really great to have you with us, and special thanks to those also who give online. Your generosity is making the way for others to hear the message of Jesus both here in Australia and around the world. If you enjoyed today's message, I'd love to encourage you to share this message with a friend, a workmate, a family member, and let's believe together that it will powerfully impact their life for good in Jesus' name. If you're unable to be with us at one of our church locations, both here in Australia and around the world, please join us online every Sunday for Global Heart at Home on YouTube. God bless and have a great week.